Discussion? Three? Four? More? This is the fourth day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is discussion four. And we're opening our day with discussion four. Now, what sort of things are we going to be aware of today as we open our conversation for discussion four? What sort of things are we going to be looking at in our individual lives as we are thinking about this? Now, last night you had the opportunity to see the movie Anti-Mame. And of course, that's a historical document. It goes back into the 30s and 40s. Wonderful movie. What was the redeeming quality of the movie last night? Where Anti-Mame was a rather spectacular lady, and she was a good lady, but spectacular, and just uninhibited lady, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Very uninhibited lady. And she ended up having her nephew come to live with her. And of course, what did he do? He fell in love with his uninhibited Anti-Mame. Now, what was the redeeming feature of the film last night that you felt? How did you feel the redeeming feature of the film was? Anita?
For me, the redeeming feature of the film is Anti-Mame's completely being herself. Always, yeah. Even in quotes confused situation, she's totally complete
she
herself.
Had those, didn't she?
Yeah. And it's fun to watch.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
No.
Okay, what do you think the redeeming feature of the film was?
The free spirit she expressed.
The
free spirit and Mamie expressed, and she wanted that her nephew grows up in the same attitude like she with as that free spirit.
She wanted her nephew to experience what she experienced, not to grow up in it. She didn't even think of him growing up. She didn't even want him to grow up. Stay little, you know. But she wanted it to give him the joy of the delightful experience.
Being a free spirit.
But she didn't want him to grow up. We have to be real careful that we don't put things into there that are not there. She was like Peter Pan, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To never know that. Yes. Sylvia!
Well, naturally it was Anti-Mame in the redeeming factor, but probably for me it was the message she gave to live life to the fullest without reservations but with values, and then everything just flows and is harmonious and even crazy, but crazy harmonious.
I'll stop you there for a minute. Why did people think she didn't have values? That she didn't have values? You said she had values.
Yeah.
Why do you think people thought she didn't have values?
Because she was
so crazy
so in her well, she was just herself.
Yeah. But did she lack values?
No.
Why did people think she lacked values?
Because maybe they were jealous that she was so that she dared to live so.
Well, actually, she didn't live by their values. She lived by her values.
She lived by her own values. Indeed. That's the point.
Her values weren't bad.
That's right.
But she lived by her own
values.
Okay.
And that's why her life was just falling into place and was totally exciting and crazy.
Gertrude, what was a redeeming feature from your point of view?
For me was Anti-Mame a good example how I could live. Be so excited about everything and be without not taking for the answer serious. And I was also, I love this relationship between the nephew
Yeah.
And it remembers me a little bit of I and Jerome. Oh, that's really right. Yeah, you've told me before.
You picked Jerome out on adventures like that. Yes, you did.
He would like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Good. Christina, what was the redeeming feature to you? If they've not already mentioned it, even if they have, then say it again.
Okay. The redeeming features of the film was, of course, Auntie Mame. And I loved her vitality and enthusiasm, her love for her nephew. And that even in difficult situations, she was happy and not concerned.
She was always her pure self. Huh?
Yes.
Makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. And she surely loved herself and.
She really loved herself.
Yes.
Wasn't it beautiful how that front hall of the living room of the house could completely
change all the time, yes.
Uh-huh. What magic. Uh-huh. And what more? Is that it?
Yeah, that's
okay. Ingeborg, what was your attitude about?
My attitude about this film, I liked it very much. Only one point I disagree. I'm a little bit...
When?
When she took that typewriter lady and forced her to go with that man, and then that lady had the fortune to remain pregnant.
That's something too. Yeah.
And that was, and also that she accepted, she created it and accepted it and took also care of the girl later.
Mm-hmm.
This is makes a little bit not having respect for another person or interfere in the personal life of somebody else.
Thank you. Anything else?
No, that's all. I like it very much.
Good. Now, just kind of jumping on what Ingeborg's saying here, that she pushed this virgin into an experience with this rather callous man. The virgin wanted to live, didn't she?
Yeah.
She wanted to let it all out, but she didn't know how. And when she got... look, sweetheart, she got married too.
Yeah.
You know? He was honorable about it. He married her. They're both drunk at the time, probably, but he married her. Now, think about this. She wanted to have everyone open up and be a flowering. She wanted this secretary to open up. Let go. Have a drink. Do this. No, I can't, because if I do, then I lose all of my sensitivities. You know, lose them. No, let go. Open up. And now, true Auntie Mame could handle anything. And you notice how well she drank, you know, over the shoulder.
Yeah.
If she didn't want it, she didn't drink it.
Yeah.
And you saw what she did with the cookies that they had. Cool. I mean, she didn't say, I don't want it. She didn't say, what are you serving me, this good-for-nothing stuff? She just threw it over her shoulder and sat down with him. And did she agree with him? She listened. She listened very carefully. And when she saw that they were trying to run somebody else's life and take her nephew and, you know, push him around, and their own daughter was, you know, under their thumb, definitely, you know. And she couldn't handle them. So what did she do? At the end of the show, we heard. What did she do?
She gave that crazy party so that they got fed up with...
That too. But what was the coup de grace? They wanted to buy the property next door so that their son and the daughter and son-in-law could have a place to live next to them, and that she should pay half. So what did she do?
She bought the whole property.
She bought the whole thing. And what did she do?
She gave it to the people they didn't want as their
She gave it to a Jewish organization, a home for unwed mothers or something. It's beautiful. Yeah. They wouldn't associate with people who were of a different attitude than theirs. And so, I mean, that wasn't very nice of her. Because she started sticking her nose in their business. Yeah. But she felt it was a retaliation that she had to make, you know. But what was a redeeming feature of the whole film? We talked about Anime, and which is natural because it's the name of the show and it's her show. But the real redeeming feature of the whole event, the whole show, had one particular feature that was far and above everything else. And you said it in a way, but you just didn't say it my way. Now, what is my way of saying what the movie was about last night?
Being myself and having
fun. Exactly. Exactly. You know, see, it was a perfect being. Be yourself and have fun. Yeah. You know, be yourself and have fun. And was she?
Yes, oh, yes, absolutely.
And what happened to her nephew, who got out of her hands and off into this different school and stuff like that? You know, in an area. And what did he do? He mellowed. Mm-hmm. He rolled with punches. You know. His parents died, his uncle died, his aunt, they had no money and, you know, was under stress. But what did he do? Did he help her to accomplish a new love in her life?
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah. Did he support her in every way?
Yep.
Did he read her how to ride? Was he just the most charming, delightful little fellow you could ever imagine?
Yeah.
Now, he was not a foil for her. He was not something to show her contrariness. He showed the depth of her character in his character.
Class.
He was just fabulous. And as he got older, even when he had taken a few turns which were perhaps not as free as she would have them be, he woke up to the fact that she was not trying to make him unhappy. She wanted him to have whatever he wanted, but she knew if he tied herself to that situation, that he would be nothing, you know? And she wanted to sort of have him recognize that, and they did. Now, that's so obvious. The whole thing is so obvious. And your life is just as obvious. If you could look objectively at your life, as you did at the movie last night, you would see your life as being absolutely fantastic. You'd see your life as being absolutely marvelous. You would see a little boy like that in your life. Someone who had the greatest love and integrity for you, to respect you and encourage you to be who you are, even though you're crazy, you know? And isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And all of her friends, they didn't always understand her either. And they tried to misuse her for their own ends, you know. And she never judged. Did you notice how she never judged this other movie star? She's good. She's on stage. But her life was just a shambles. And Mame was always there for her. And with her husband, whom she dearly loved. She always did whatever he wanted to do. But I think I'll not step back. I think you knew what was coming. Hello! But, you see, did she go down to Georgia, wherever it was, and take over the plantation?
No.
It's hers. What did she do? She stayed right where she was, in her home. In her world, and she had a lot of fun. And did she have a wardrobe that didn't stop?
Yeah. Unstoppable.
Yeah. But you see, this is what each of you can do. You can have a wardrobe of mental attitudes that are positive and that are fantastic. I mean, all the vignettes, all the little cameo experiences that took place in there, horseback riding, being a Southern belle. What comes to your mind as you think of what she said to the men and women down there as they were telling her about horseback riding. What'd she say? Oh, I can too. What'd she say about playing cards? I can too. No. You know, but always she said, I can. Always she said, I will enter into the game. Always she said, be yourself and have fun. You know? Mm-hmm. Why do you think her two servants just dearly loved her? Because she was crazy. They thought she was the coolest lady they had ever known in their life, and they would give up anything for her. They weren't dedicated to her ways of living, her things that she was doing, and all that. But to her, she was just a lady with such depth and such sincerity and such magic in her. Now, I say to you, you each have the same magic, and stop fighting. Stop fighting your magic. Let it out. Let it out. Let it express. Now, Anita lets it express a little bit, but Anita is more tied up in a knot than any of you. And what are you shaking your head for? Yes. Anita is so eager to learn the philosophy and the principles and to follow it that she ties herself up in a knot. Anita, how do I tell you you should, and I don't say learn, but how do I tell you should practice this philosophy?
Have fun.
Be yourself and have fun. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean getting all uptight about, am I doing it right, you know.
I thought I'm better than ever. Yeah. I thought I'm mellowed.
Oh, no, you're doing fine. But the thing is, let go. Let go. And all of these things that tie you up in a knot, what do? They keep you from having fun and being yourself. Now, Auntie Mame said yes to riding a horse.
Yep.
And she couldn't even get the shoes on her feet. You know, and she was absolutely an idiot. And then, what did she say after the ride was over? When her nephew said, that was great.
Mm.
What'd she say? I was stuck. I couldn't get off. her pins got her caught on the horses.
Yeah.
I mean, just crazy things that it's not fair. She is just so silly. You know, she's just so silly. But who would ever dream that she wasn't really there riding it to ride? But she couldn't get off. Where did the fox end up?
In her.
In her bosom. And the fox was a nice little guy, wasn't he? But you see, this is what happens when you let go and enter into the game of life. With all the joy and enthusiasm, she was exceptional, that's true. And of course, she probably was a summation of a whole bunch of different people who did crazy things, you know. And they put it all in her script. But you can too. You can put this all in your script too. Now, if we said to Anita, Anita, do something crazy. She said, I don't know about anything crazy. I said, well, Anita, think of Morris. I think of Morris, that he decides that he's going to have you be his slave and his confidant, and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And you say to him, Morris, I don't think so. This is a show I want to play. And then what would Morris say? Okay. Okay. You're scared for your job. You're scared that you're going to do the wrong thing. You're scared. And then finally you just say, the heck with it. I got to be me. I got to be me. And when you were you, what happened?
Fun. We had fun.
We had fun. Mm-hmm. We had fun.
Yeah.
Being yourself and having fun. And when you'd had enough, when you had enough, you left.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't care if he needed somebody again. There's other people around who will fill in, who would be the ordinary type people. But his extraordinary type person that you were was very exceptional. You know? Mm. Like Sylvia over here, crazy loon, you know. She goes to work cleaning houses, and she's working in this house up on the hill. It's 365 degrees. What does she do? She sits there looking out the window all the time. And the people say, oh, you did such a beautiful job. You cleaned everything. I didn't do anything. I was looking out the window. But you see, they don't know it because they were looking out the window too. But you see, you join in with the game. You join in with the fun. And that's what it's all about. Now, Ingeborg was saying that she was unkind in causing this girl to go into a relationship that she wasn't ready for. Well, the girl was ready for it.
She loved that guy.
And the thing is, if she hadn't gone into that, she might have gone into a different one that wasn't so good.
Yeah.
But here she had the guidance of a master encouraging her. And then the clown that she was out with was just, he was a shyster, you know. He's a gamester. But it's her husband now. Mm-hmm. And that suited her just fine. But then, what did her nephew's girlfriend's parents think of this pregnant lady at first?
What? They thought she was married.
How wonderful. Yeah. No. They thought, they didn't think about married. They just thought, she is Mrs. So-and-so. Yes, yeah. They thought married. But, but then, when they found out she wasn't married, then they thought about marriage. Up to that time, they didn't think anything about it. They just, you know, women get pregnant, and then when they're married and do these things, it's normal, you know. But what would have happened to those people if their daughter had gotten pregnant? You know, they would have either grown up or they would have disowned her or something, you know. But how silly. How silly. But this is to have fun. And you know, people who get raped and then they tell the world that they're raped, they destroy themselves. Shut up. If you have that problem, take care of it legally or do whatever has to be done. Shut up. Don't tell anybody. I mean, you're still the same person. You're still the same wonderful person. But you let yourself be destroyed by your own telling everybody about it, wanting to get vindication or, you know, to get after somebody or put them in jail or what have you. That's all properly done, but just shut up quietly. You don't know of any of these things. But it gets such big news coverage, and pretty soon the whole countryside knows that you did it. And then you're not a pure person anymore. Whereas you were a pure person before that, and you were a pure person after that. But you made yourself impure by telling the world that I am no longer a virgin. You know, I'm a used woman. Oh, my goodness sake. How many young ladies and young men have relationships before they get married? Once, twice, or three times. And said, hey, my goodness, son. No. So, but you see, this is what we do to ourselves. We tell the world. Now, going aside from the show, every time we say to anyone, our mother, our father, our sister, our brothers, our aunts, our uncles, our husbands, our wives, our children, or whomever, our ministers, or priests, or doctors, every time we say to anybody, I am sick, you're saying you're not a virgin any longer. You know? Silly. Mm-hmm. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. And what happens when you're whole and perfect? Never a remembrance of your sickness. Unless you want to say, oh, I have this chop in me here. I had my appendix out, you know. And they couldn't find it here. And they had to go all the way around and cutting in and cutting in and cutting in. Oh, well, how wonderful. You know, it sounds really exciting, you know. That was my brother Ray. He went in for his appendix over here, and it was over here because it was twisted around the back of him. They couldn't find it. They had to search all over it, but they found it. And he had to tell the whole story and say, oh my goodness, did you know I... thanks a lot, Ray. I really needed to know that. That was something that really made my day. But it doesn't make your day, or anybody's day, to talk about your imperfections, your illnesses, or your things that you're working on. Do you understand? This is so powerful. It's so powerful. Because each one of you is a dynamo. Each one of you is an anti-mame. And each one of you is a wonderful anti-mame. Anti-mame. Each one of you is a wonderful anti-mame. because each one of you is an independent character doing your thing, and each one of you could see yourself in her role. You could see yourself wearing those lovely dresses she had. You could see herself floating down the staircase, you know, they had a big circular staircase to show her off, you know. You could see yourself holding the nephew, you know, in a mother love attitude, a real tenderness and caringness. And you could see that she had nothing but absolute love for that kid, you know? And so beautiful. And you could see that she wanted him to have everything that was right and good. So what did she finally end up with?
With his kid.
She didn't get to make it too well with the boy himself, but with his child. And that wasn't easy either at first too, because they still were a little traditional, you know. But it's a matter of letting go, a matter of entering into the wonderful experience that we are. It's so fantastic. Now, can you do that? Mm-hmm. Do you want to do that? Mm-hmm. And how are you going to go about doing it?
By being myself and having fun.
Yeah, that's the words you're supposed to use. But now, how are you going to go about being yourself and having fun? As you, Ellen. As you.
Living a joyful, happy, unlimited, free spirit life.
Now, how do you live a joyful, unlimited, free-spirited life?
Doing everything what I choose to do with a perfect attitude, happy attitude, loving attitude.
Didn't she use a nice word here now? What do you mean by attitude? What do you mean by attitude? It's a good word.
Attitude with the thoughts, good thoughts, about it's what I'm doing.
Now, let her work on this here. We'll get to you. Now, what's your good attitude?
My good attitude is that I like myself and like whatever I do.
What is your good attitude? Your good attitude is illustrative. It's an illustration. Your good attitude is picking up the phone and saying, Diego, how wonderful to talk to you. You're fantastic. It's so nice to hear from you. You're just the most... And say, I'll see you later. Bye. And he didn't have a word to say. He didn't say one word to you because you dominated the conversation, you blew his mind, and you hung up. Now, what's that attitude? The attitude is your world. It's your creation. Then you call up the banker, you know. And the banker called you and left a call and said, your account's overdrawn. You call the banker. You say, well, Mr. Banker, I'm glad you called me to tell me my account was overdrawn. Do you realize that we have been with you since 1975 and that we are one of your best accounts and we are one of your most responsible accounts and we never overdraw, and that if you don't learn to forgive one little time with us because we are so good with your customers, we'll go someplace else where they... won't forgive us either, but we can make our choices. You know, they never want to lose anybody. Mm-hmm. And he'd say, well, now, Mr. Banker, I don't want that to ever happen again. What? Yes. What must I do so that it never happens again? He said, well, just have a little kitty on the side here, or you know, have it to draw upon another account. Do you have any other account there? Yes, we do. We have two accounts. Maybe three, you know, and let us draw upon another account. Oh, can that be done?
Yep.
We'll do it for you. And, Miss Jeremini, thank you very much. I needed that good, swift kick in my butt. You woke me up to realize that we sometimes lose customers because we are no longer having that touch, that personal touch of one-on-one with our clients. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, why do doctors lose patients? Because they don't touch them any longer. They don't have any personal contact with them. And you go some other doctor. And why do you go to three doctors, four doctors to get four opinions? Why do you do that? Why? Why do you go to four doctors?
We don't believe in the doctor.
No. You go to four doctors because you want to hear what other doctors have to say. Not that you don't believe in them. You want to hear what other doctors have to say. If they all say the same thing, then you say, well, maybe so, you know. But you go to these other doctors to get their opinion. Have a second opinion, as they say. Always do that. It's wise. Now, what is the doctor's opinion going to be for the one that finally gets you? What is he going to say to you?
I'm all perfect.
Well, let's not go that far. He's going to say to you, you are a healthy woman. You are strong. You have good, whatever, you know.
You are one of my healthiest patients.
Well, let's not go that far. You're pushing him beyond his limit.
What the doctor said to me. One of the doctors said to me, so I accept that.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Did you? And she wants that from every doctor she goes to.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah. Now, was that the first doctor you went to?
Yeah.
Oh, you struck out. Well, you struck on the first. That's great. That's great. That's great. Now, why does that happen to you?
Because I had it in my sock.
You had what in your sock?
That I'm a healthy person.
Why did you go to the doctor in the first place?
Just to get this confirmation.
Now, what if he hadn't confirmed it? What if you had made a mistake and gone to the wrong one? I can't make a mistake.
Right.
Thank you. Just thought I'd catch you before you made a mistake. No, but this is what it is. This is what it is. And we're the master of these experiences. We're the master of these experiences. We want to put the cause in motion. Now, and the name put the cause in motion? Now, you put the cause in motion. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go with your life? Sylvia? Where are you going to go with your Sylvia life? With your life, Sylvia? Where are you going to go? Are you going to go and have a number of doctors give you different opinions and you know what the one that you want to hear is? Or are you going to go and moan and groan that you got a problem?
I go within to the land of wholeness and perfection.
Huh, all right. You don't make any money from your doctors that way. Okay. Gertrude?
Yeah.
What do? When you have something that you want to remedy, what do you do? How do you remedy a problem in your life?
As remedy vector.
How do you come to a better conclusion?
I have only healthy thoughts, also good thoughts about myself. I see myself vital and
dynamic
alive. Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy, surrounded by harmonious people,
good.
Having always fun.
Good, good. Do you have any limitation in your body whatsoever? Tummy ache or whatever, do you have any limitation in your body whatsoever that keeps you from being yourself and having fun?
No. I am whole and perfect and see only that I am whole and perfect.
Did you see the show Pollyanna?
Perhaps years ago.
Well, Pollyanna was a little pain in the butt. She's a nice girl. But everywhere she went, people weren't ready for her. And she went to visit one lady. You remember that lady? What was her name? As a movie actress. She went to visit this lady.
She's now.
Samantha's mother.
Samantha's mother.
Yes.
Wiggle the nose. Samantha's mother.
Yes.
She was Samantha's mother. But anyhow, but she played a role in this movie that. Pollyanna was in, and Pollyanna went to visit her, and she says, there's nothing wrong with you, you know, you should be up doing things, you know, you don't need to lay in bed all the time, come on, you should be helping people, you should be out enjoying life and being doing things. And the lady said, get that kid out of here, you know, how dare. And then she started coming over, and she wouldn't let the kid in her room, so she'd sit in another room and do whatever. And then finally she realized that the kid had something good to offer and brought her in. And then when the child had an incident and everybody felt sorry for the kid because the kid was hurt, she was there out of bed, standing there offering to be helpful and what have you. And of course showing the total love that they felt that this girl had brought to the community, which she had. But you see, this is what happens. You never know out of what hole is going to come a beautiful being. Out of what troublesome circumstance is going to come a beautiful circumstance. You never know. And this is where you guys are. You are at that place now. You think, ah, we're attending these seminars with Herb. We're just on top of the line here. We're doing great things, and everything is wonderful, and everything is good. Well, I want you to be aware, it doesn't have to be this way, but I want you to be aware, you're liable to get yourself kicked very strongly. And it's called a test. And you're going to be, you're being prepared now for that. And when that test comes, you'll be untouched because you'll know who you are and you'll be strong. Now, in Auntie Mame, I mean, she had enough things to kill her, you know. She had this nephew coming, she had this here, she had this guy trying to take her away and put her in a different school, and she had, and she sent him off to her special school, and all sorts of crazy things. And what happened? Then the ultimate happened. No money. The market crashed. And all the investments that she had were lost. And she was a poor lady. But she still lived in her apartment. But she was a poor lady. Did that make her give up? That just made her step out and be creative. And was she creative?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. They didn't tell me how to do cash receipts. All I could do is credit. And that was so charming. So charming. But this is what life's all about. No matter how difficult the circumstances are that come upon us, if we can stand ready for them, we can handle anything. If we can stand ready for these things, nothing can stop us, you know? Mm-hmm. And isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Ingeborg here. Ingeborg, I am unhappy with you because you're not revealing yourself as quickly as you should. I'm really not unhappy with you. But I have one problem with you, and I can only see you through my eyes. And I see you whole and perfect. I see you a young spring chicken. I see you vital, dynamic, alive. I see you on top of everything. I see you as speaking positive about every circumstance, not picking out the negative frameworks, but picking out the positive. I see you always finding goodness in everybody and everything. And if you ever want to say something bad, I give your tongue back. I sew it back in for you. You mean I'll bit it off. Never say anything bad about anybody. Especially yourself, too. But this is where I think it's very important for you to really get busy and work on yourself and stop acting like an older lady. Stop acting like a person who needs to have your sleep and you need to have this. Take it if you want it. You understand that? You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. But don't want it. Don't want it. Because if you start wanting, you got to have 8 hours of sleep every night. You know that? That's what the rule is. The doctors tell you that. Everybody tells you that. Hey, when you're so excited about your life and you got so many things to do, you can't sleep. And so you lay there, your eyes wide open, you're full of all sorts of ideas, and you're, I'm supposed to have 8 hours of sleep, I'm supposed to have 8 hours of sleep, you know. And you fight it. You're no good. Stop sleeping. Get up and go do what you want to do. And this is what I do. I'm in the middle of the night, you know. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And I went to bed at 10. And so I'm wide awake. And I've got all these things I want to do. We've got these things I want to put on the tape and the network and stuff like that. And I lay there. I'm going to get some sleep. I'm going to get some sleep. I'm wide awake. I'm done. I'm ready to go. Now, does my body need the sleep? If it needed the sleep, I would sleep. People say they can't sleep.
Well, get up and do something. Whenever I had difficulty sleeping at some point, I would get up and I would take a walk. I'd walk the path on the property. Sometimes I'd walk it two or three times in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. If any of the wetbacks came through at 2 o'clock in the morning and saw me walking the path, they'd say, what's the matter with him? Why isn't he in bed, you know? What's he doing walking the path out here in the moonlight, you know? But to follow your heart. Follow your heart and let your heart be loving at all times. Let your heart be forgiving at all times. Not forgiving because you think you have the right to forgive. And none of us can forgive ourselves or anybody else. If somebody kicks you, they meant to kick you. You don't forgive them. You just say, hey, that wasn't too cool. Don't do it again. You know, will you forgive me? No, I don't forgive you. I don't forgive a kick. The kick, I forgive you perhaps, but I don't really have anything against you, so I have nothing to forgive you for. But I say, forget the kick, you know. That doesn't need to be. And so, let go of these things, because if you don't, then they're going to hang in there. Now, what did Christina tell us? She was a good illustration, but what did she tell us? One of her monumental experiences. She changed a tire. In other words, Christina was such a dum-dum, she had a mental attitude that allowed her tire to get flat. Can you imagine that? She had this mental attitude. She's a student here at the University of Healing. She shouldn't have flat tires. You know that? She's a student here at the university. Her car should run like, you know, butter all the time, you know, just flow along smoothly, right? Right? She should never have any troubles. Unless there's a handsome man standing inside of the road and she has a flat tire at that moment, he fixes the tire, and they go out and have coffee together. How about that? That's possible, huh? You are. Yeah, what the heck? You know, when people get married, they die. They absolutely die dead. Because if the woman is driving her car and she has a flat and some nice young man comes along and fixes it for her and she takes him out for a cup of coffee or a hamburger or something and say thank you, right away everyone thinks the worst of her. And her husband, how dare you go out with another man? You know, how dare you go out with that man? How dare you go out with that man? How dare you go out with that man? And, well, sweetheart, that was my brother. He happened to be standing there. Oh, how dare you go out with that man? You know, he still has in his heart that you have no right to make judgments on your own. And you have all the right in the world, whether you're married or not. Before you got married, you made a judgment. And you made a judgment of going with the guy you married, you know. And maybe that was the wrong judgment. But no. See, these are the things. We have the right to be ourselves and have fun at all times. And being ourselves and having fun doesn't mean we're indiscreet. Doesn't mean that we are messing up our marriage vows or our relationship vows or, you know, whatever we've chosen to do. But what it does mean is to be yourself as you always did and as you always were and as you always will be. It's fun. Now, are you ready to be yourself and have fun? Are you ready to walk your path in life and do it with love and joy? You know? It's great. Ellen, are you ready?
Yes.
That's good. Yeah. Okay. Well, now, you go and get yourself ready for our talk and our sharing, and we will go on with the, 10, right? 10 will be our first lesson. Huh?
10:30.
What's the number of our lesson, of our lecture? Yes, 10:30, right. But be ready for that, and you'll have lots of fun. And you see, the sun's trying to come out for you guys, too. It wants to make you all cozy warm. Any question or any comment before we finish our discussion or my talk? Did you wake up at all this morning?
Yes.
Yeah. And what did you think of Annie Mame, huh? Yeah. Ingeborg? I think we'll start calling you Auntie Mame. The flamboyant woman of the University of Healing. Yeah? And what do we call Christina? The nephew? The pure, innocent child? Gertrude, what do you call you? Gertrude.
Yes.
And Sylvia, what do we call you?
You can call me Flower.
Ellen, what do we call you?
Call Mimi.
Any Mame? Or Mimi, that's her first name. Mame was her first name.
Mame,
yeah. Mame. M-A-I-M-A-M-E.
Good singer.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
And you, what are we going to call you and your car? Pure love?
Yeah.
Unconditional love?
Yeah.
Her UC, huh?
Mm-hmm. UC.
What?
Unconditional love.
Yeah.
It
means
UC. That's right, UC. See, when you see properly, you have unconditional love.
My license says see you.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Love you.
Love you.
Love you.